Welcome to episode 2 of Camp Cast. Thanks for sticking around and supporting us for yet another cast. We appreciate you all. Today with me is Adam, Andy, and John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, let's start with Adam. Can you tell everybody a little bit about what you do?
So I do a lot of different things. I mean, the main thing I've been doing lately is I do a lot of coverage for different TV shows with streams. I've been doing for a while podcasting. Soon I'll be doing a D&D live stream. That's something I've been playing D&D and games for who knows how long at this point. So a lot of different things, you know, it all depends on what people invite me to do like this. It seemed like an time to talk about a lot of different topics and go over things that maybe I don't normally talk about in my podcast.
Awesome. What about you, Andy?
Hi, thank you. I don't do a great deal online at the moment. I am trying to get into some more things. I do a little bit of streaming, not a tremendous amount, but I have got affiliated on Twitch and whatnot. I am looking to get into more into doing podcasts and things like that. Maybe some online writing as well for reviews, things like that.
Awesome. What about you, John?
All right. So for me, I'm a freelance web developer during the day, and I stream on the side. I've mostly been playing like competitive games. I've been getting very tryhard in Rainbow Six lately. And I'm also trying to get into podcasting, so I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, okay, I guess let's go on to our topics. Today we're going to be talking about Fortnite, social media responsibility, and the whole like Twitch and Mixer split. And just, I mean, we're going to be going over like other streaming platforms just a little bit. I don't really know all of them, but we'll go over all that. So we are going to start with Fortnite. Do any of you play Fortnite, or have you played it? You still play? Do you enjoy it? Are you against it? And what are your thoughts on like battle royales and thoughts on streaming in hopes of boosting your viewership on Twitch?
You know, I have played Fortnite a couple times. I know my nephews are huge into it. They love it. Personally, it doesn't hold me. I get bored kind of pretty quick with it. I have people that have been trying to get me to play more. I think I've won one game with a two person, but overall, I like games that are a little bit more. But I do see a lot of people playing it because that's what people want to watch because they're having fun. And that's, you know, up to the person. It's just not my vote.
Yeah, I want to like Fortnite, and I keep trying to play it. My oldest child loves it, but he doesn't play it. He just loves it. He has a computer that's kind of like a potato, so he can't really play it all that well. It's like, it looks terrible. I've never seen Fortnite look so bad as it does on his computer. But I feel like there's something missing from it. I don't know like what it is, but it almost like a progression, earning something. It feels like you have to buy the battle pass to get those little things, but you still have to put in a ton of time to unlock everything in that pass.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean with that. Like I played Fortnite when it first came out on the early access for the PvE side of it. And then obviously they brought out the Battle Royale. And since then, pretty much, I think everyone would agree that the majority of the emphasis for the game has been into that Battle Royale side of things rather than the original side. I played the Battle Royale when it first came out quite a bit, and you know it was enjoyable for a little bit. But I do think I agree with what you're saying that you know you've got to buy in for the Battle Pass, and then you've still got to put in you know dozens of hours to actually get anywhere. Or you can then spend more money to unlock things faster, and it does seem a bit cash grabby. Consider the amount of people that they've now got playing, riding off the back of, you know, we talk about Twitch streamers and things like that. And, you know, I think a lot of people have managed to grow their channels massively with Fortnite. But, I mean, for you to try and jump into it now, I think would be a frivolous act purely because there's so many people streaming it. I think it'd just be a crazy idea to try and, you know, start your streaming career based off of Fortnite now would just be, you know, it just wouldn't work.
I agree with Andy. I see people like streaming like only Fortnite on Twitch, and like they're just starting. And I tell them, why? Why are you doing this?
Well,
because it's just so big. I mean, if you stream like at a time that Ninja streams, you're not gonna get anywhere, because Ninja consistently pulls in over 100,000 people.
That's insane. Like, it really is, to have that many people watching you. Like, I don't know much about Ninja. I've seen maybe a couple minutes of his streams, just kind of checking it out, because I mean, I think it's amazing that many people watching you. And I think too many people get their hopes up. Like, they think they will become Ninja, like something like Ninja, if they stream a super popular game like Fortnite. And I don't think in general it is the right choice for a new streamer. I don't think they're going to get out what they think they're, you know, putting in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, on Mixer, it's kind of like a little bit of a different story, because Mixer does have the hype zones. So you kind of have a more of a chance to pull in a whole lot of viewers, because if you get hosted by the hype zone consistently has, for Fortnite, at least 300 plus people. So on Mixer, it kind of makes sense for people to go for Fortnite, because it has the hype zone element to it. But like on Twitch, I would not recommend it to anybody, simply because there's so many people streaming it with so like huge numbers. And pulling in more people is going to be so hard, because in general, Twitch has a discoverability problem, you know. But Fortnite's a good game, because it consistently, like for me at least, it consistently kind of revamps itself. You know, each season it like adds new things for you to look into, and I think that's the main pull for people. That every season there's like something new, you know, new skins, new weapons, the map changes. You know, I think that's kind of what gets people like coming back for more, you know, and I think that's something that Fortnite does really well. It's the like replayability factor. The only gripe I have with Fortnite is the building, you know. I think that like end game, it all becomes like a build out. And if somebody can just build like this massive contraption in 2 seconds, they're gonna win. And it doesn't matter how good you are with a gun. If they can outbuild you, they'll kill you.
Well, didn't they add in like blueprints to where you can build like this massive thing if you find the blueprint?
I'm not sure. I don't even know. I don't think.
Yeah, they put in like a legendary item, which is like an orb that you throw down and it automatically builds quite a big tower for you. Which, you know, that does alleviate some of the issues. You know, I agree that the building side of it does become the main focus. You know, when you're down to like the last sort of 20-10 people, then, you know, that building side of it makes up 80-85% of the chance you're going to win the game if you can build quicker and smarter than the other people.
Yeah, and I suck at building, so like I almost always lose to anybody who can build better than me. I just like, I automatically lose, and it frustrates me, because I'm like, I feel like it just gets like a building frenzy game. And it kind of loses its fun for me after a little while. So I just end up like shutting it down and just going to another game.
I've never been into building, so I feel you.
Yeah. Just say something that when it comes to like the streamers who like kind of switch to Fortnite to get viewership, personally, you can tell when someone's just playing it because they think this is the game that's going to get them the viewers. And I don't enjoy watching people play games that they don't enjoy. And I think there are a couple people out there. I have friends who have tried to play it, and they eventually get away from it because they're not having fun. I mean, the right streamer, I'll watch Paint Simulator, 2018 if it's the right person.
Exactly.
And I think Ninja, people don't realize how, like, I've never watched Ninja on a stream, but I've seen his stuff outside of the stream, and I think he's a great person and a great, like, custodian for streamers, but I won't watch play Fortnite because I'm just, if he was playing something else, I might.
Yeah, I get that. I like Fortnite, but it isn't something I play all the time. I don't even have it installed right now. I will say I'm obsessed with the new skins, especially the Viking female with the whole blue face paint and the blonde hair that's like shaved on the sides. And I think it's a big braid. Like, they put out some fantastic skins. And I swear, if it was like any other game that wasn't a battle royale, I would probably play the crap out of it. but there's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because it's got that huge like following and everyone is so obsessed with it. And I don't know if I'm like a gaming like hipster. Like I feel really gaming hipster when it comes to Fortnite. Like I don't even want to stream it because I don't want to be like categorized as somebody that's like selling out, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if I were to stream Fortnite, even casually, I would feel like not who I am. I stream a lot of random games, a lot of unknown games that people don't really like play or I guess know about, you know?
I feel like old man gamer when you talk about stuff like this, because I watch like my nephews play and they're all about like getting whatever helmet it is, and they're trying to do flips with no look headshots and all that. And I'm like, back in my day, our latency wouldn't let us do that.
I know. Like, I know.
It feels like they market so much to that age group, and I feel a little bit on the outside to, like I said, old man gamer.
I feel so old when I play with randoms. Like sometimes I'll play with my husband and his group of friends, and we're all old, you know, we're 30 plus years old playing together. But then sometimes I'll go and I'll play alone, and I'm in matches where it sounds like I'm playing with like my 5-year old. And they're like got these little squeaky voices, and they're like, "Are you a girl? Can we be your friend?" Like, and I'm like, "No, no, like I'm not gonna be your friend. Like, don't friend me, please. I wouldn't want my children to be friends with a random adult on the internet. Like, please, like, where's your parent? Like, why are they letting you like friend random adults?"
Right, and that's what kind of concerns me about Fortnite. I went to the bowling alley like 2 weeks ago, and I saw three different groups of kids. Like, they weren't together. They were just different groups of kids just coming to the bowling alley. And they were all doing a Fortnite dance. It was insane. I was like, what is happening in society now?
Oh, they know the dance.
Off the same vein of that, I have a little boy. He's 9 years. Well, he's 9 in a couple of weeks. And when I take him to school on a Friday morning, I take him to school, drop him off on the schoolyard. And borderline every single week, every Friday, there is a dance circle on the schoolyard where the kids, 3 or 4 of them, jump in at a time, do a Fortnite dance, and then jump back out, and then someone else jumps in, and it's like an episode of Black Mirror. It is that surreal to watch these 8-9-year-old kids do these Fortnite dances. And it's become such a cultural phenomenon. It's crazy. It really is crazy that these kids are so obsessed. And like, my kid loves it. He doesn't bloody play it, but he's obsessed with it. And he knows all the dances. It's my crazy. Kid.
He doesn't play, but he knows all the dances. We were at Busch Gardens, which is a theme park here. And we were standing in line, and like every kid in line was just Fortnite dancing. And I was like, it's like they're brainwashed, you know? Like, I know, I don't want to say like video games like are affecting children, but like when they're all at a theme park waiting in line to ride a roller coaster and they're doing like Fortnite dances, I'm like, this is crazy. I can't play this game because I feel like 5 years old, 10 years old, and then it ruins it for me. Like, it just ruins it.
Right.
It's crazy that a video game has become like a cultural phenomenon from where I started.
Right.
Personally. Like, I started like playing video games and doing a lot of nerdy things and like not telling people things about it, like, because I'm like, people are gonna think I'm a weirdo because I play video games and I play D&D, like, to the point where I was 21, so I'm my mid-30s now. When I was 21, I didn't tell a girlfriend that I played D&D until probably about 3 months in to dating, and she thought I was gonna tell her I had a drug issue. Nowadays, people are dancing from video games in public. It's just, right. It's so much different than what I was used to growing up that it's weird that it's a cultural phenomenon.
Right. Like, I remember it was really weird, especially as a woman, to be into gaming when I was younger. I didn't really talk about it much, but by the time I was about maybe, I think I was like 18, 17 or 18, I had to have been 18 because I graduated high school. I was dating a guy for like a week, and we went to school together, but he was really, I mean, he's a nice guy, but he was really country, you know, like dirt bikes and things like that. And I told him that I just really was interested in a boy that played World of Warcraft. And that ended it. Like, he was gone. I scared him away. Scared him. Like, it was like the last time I opened up for a really long time that I played games.
Yeah. It's crazy how much has changed. And Fortnite's even a part of that now, because, like, my nephews who are, you know, they're like 8, 10, and 12 or something like that. And they're like jockey kids, because that's how my brother is. And like, they're playing video games. And my brother is like, I don't know what to do. Like, he's like, I wasn't a part of that culture. You're the nerd. You talk to them. Like, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's crazy how much we've changed. All right. Are you guys ready to move on to social media responsibility?
Oh, boy.
For sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so social media responsibility. If you work a career or a job, basically mostly everyone has a job, right? Should you be careful on what you do and say online? Is it fair to be fired over something you said online?
Okay, can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Be my guest.
Okay, so yes, you should be responsible for what you say on social media, especially if you have like a huge following. Because you're influencing a lot of people, right? So you should definitely like be careful about what you say. Regarding getting fired, though, I mean, it depends. If you kind of like say something bad, you should like get a warning. But like if you keep doing it, then you should get fired. But it also depends on the gravity of the situation, right? It depends on what you said. Like if you just call somebody like a stupid asshole or something, then like, okay, just give them a slap on the wrist. But if you, like, told them, like, they should die and, like, screw their mom or something like that. I don't know how, like, PG this podcast is.
Oh, you can say whatever you want. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, if you just said, like, fuck your mom and I hope you die, then you should definitely get fired. I mean, because you are representing your company. It doesn't really matter if your Twitter is yours, for example. I mean, we can bring in the Guild Wars 2 debacle. But like you're representing your company as an employee at all times, basically when you're on social media. If you want to have like a personal Twitter or personal space, just like keep it private, you know. But if you make like a public Twitter or something and post like really offensive stuff, then you should totally get fired. And I think most companies have that policy. But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I don't really work for people. I work for myself.
Well, I know that my husband very rarely uses social media. Like, even under, like, a username. You know what I'm saying? Like, he takes his job very seriously. He, you know, cares about his family. And he doesn't want to say something or like something, or you know what I'm saying, that could possibly lead to him getting fired. I think that it's like really important to come off as like a respectful person on social media. And like, I'm not saying everybody has to. Like, if you are got a completely anonymous account, your name's like Bubblegum Bubble Butt, and no one will ever find you. Like, if you don't use your photo, say whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not, I mean, don't be like racist. You know what I'm saying? Don't go off and be crazy. But if you're using a Twitter profile, personal Twitter profile, and you have your company tagged on there, I'm sorry, but saying opinions does not reflect company on your profile does not save you. Like, you can't just write that on your profile and then say whatever you want and then act like just because you wrote that warning on your profile, it shouldn't reflect the opinion of your company. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just do that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because at the end of the day, if there's any sort of connectivity between you and what you're doing and the company that you work for, then ultimately what you're showing is that if you're spouting, like you say, racism or anything ridiculous like that, then you're showing that this company is willing to employ people who indulge in that kind of behavior. And that that is bringing disreputation upon the company, you know. Exactly. So I think in that sense, then yeah, you really should be fired, because you're doing something that's not just affecting yourself, it's affecting the livelihood of other people who work at that company. And it's just being very short-sighted and jumping into it and, you know, saying these things for no reason really than other to cause a scene. Like I say, if you want to sit on the internet and shitpost, that's fine. But, you know, just make a completely private, anonymous account, and then everyone will just ignore it because you're just being trash.
Yes, I agree. And I mean, you know what? If that's what you want to do, if that's what you like to do on social media, that's fine. Like, do it in your personal, private, you know, life. Don't, like, connect anything to it for people to, like, know who you are.
It's funny because, like, part of me wants to, like, play devil's advocate and, like, and fight the other side, but I can't with this topic. part of it is the industry that I'm in. Like, even if I try to, like, say I try to advertise myself and get people to come, I can, like, lose my licensing and stuff, like, because they're so strict on that type of stuff. So I understand where companies are coming from when they're even talking more about what they want to put forward with the people that they hire. So I think, yeah, if you want to talk crap on the internet and you want to be that person, then, and you want it to be coming from you, then you need to find a company that follows your views. Now, is that possible? I don't know. It depends on, you know, the different companies that are out there. And most companies aren't going to outwardly say that they mind you talking crap about people. But I think that, you know, you should be able to say what you want to a point. And once it starts, hurting people or making people feel bad about themselves or anything like that, that's the line.
For
you know,
sure.
Personally, yeah. And personally, for me with social media, I stick to pictures of my kid, events I'm going to, and then nerdy video game type stuff and D&D, because you can't get into much trouble with that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with a lot of the ArenaNet thing, I mean, I'm sure we all saw it. It was a really hot topic. And my problem, like, with this certain situation is I honestly felt like he was one of their partners, right? They have a partner program.
Yeah.
He was one of their partners that I felt like he was giving, like, solid views on her topic. Like,
I think that's a big thing on what it was. Like, this guy wasn't a complete stranger. It wasn't someone just completely out of the blue talking shit. It's that he was deeply involved in that, in that community. And, you know, he was invested. And what he was doing seemed to be, you know, a genuine attempt at helping.
Right. I mean, he even agreed with her point. Like, he was like, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. But, like, let me just kind of present this different viewpoint. And that was it. But apparently it turned into, like, yeah, you're telling me what to do. And I didn't get that part. I was just like, wait, how is him telling you his point of view, telling you what to do? That to me was pretty, like, that was a leap of logic there. I was like, what the heck are you saying here?
I know. A lot of my problem today is, like, I'm a pretty middle-grounded person. I have friends from all sides of everything, you know? Like, I have conservative friends, I have liberal friends, I have friends right in the middle. I'm trying not to make this about politics, but I'm just saying that I'm an open-minded person that loves to hear thoughts all around the table, you know? I have problems sometimes with the way women wish to be treated online. I feel like a lot of the times that they will want everything to, like, be equal. But a lot of the times it feels like they want to be more respected than our man friends. And for this situation, I felt like this was a jump to conclusion of a mansplain, where this woman thought that this guy was talking down on her. And it just kind of bothers me, because I don't think we should do this. Like, I don't think that every single time a guy speaks to us or corrects us, which, hey, We're all human. We can be wrong, you know? I don't think we need to jump down his throat and just assume the worst of him. And this is where I find that it's starting to be a problem. We're starting to just hate these guys. Like you just can't hate somebody because they just want to have a conversation and argue. I mean, it's fine to argue. We're people. That's what we do. We discuss and we argue and we get along and we have all these emotions. And I'm just kind of tired of the whole, like, you know, mansplain term and everything like that. And I think this is a case of what happened and took it wrong. And it went from there and it got people fired.
Right. So what the problem I had with, like, this whole thing was that it jumped from, like, it was a jump to conclusion that then turned into, like, this is a sexual thing, like a sex thing, you know, like a gender thing, when it so clearly wasn't, you know. And then the oxymoron for me in all this is that I actually tweeted this, right? I was like, this is going to be an unpopular opinion probably, because, like, I'm seeing this pattern nowadays where, like, you get females jumping down your throat because you say anything related to gender, right? And I was just like, so this is the unpopular opinion. Women, we want our opinions to be, like, heard and our voices heard. And then I was just like, okay, but here's the thing. Men, voices and opinion. Women, you need to shut the fuck up. Nobody asked for your opinion. You know? And that just kind of doesn't make sense to me, right? Because I got into a heated debate with somebody because I randomly saw their post on Twitter because somebody liked it from who I followed, which was like, all guys are the same. And I was just like, no, not everybody's the same, because, like, all humans are different. This is just your past experience that's kind of jading you towards, like, all guys are the same. And I got a lot of flack for it, but, like, I stood by what I said because I don't believe that any one person is the same, right? So, like, it wasn't about gender, really. It was just about the fact that they're just saying that everybody's the same when nobody's really the same. So when it baffles me that nobody can see the fact that, okay, women want to be heard, they want to have their opinions heard, you know, but, like, when a guy voices their opinion, they immediately jump down their throat, and they don't see the paradox in it. And when I try to, like, point out, hey, like, this doesn't make any sense, it's just like, shut up, dude. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
But regarding the Guild Wars 2 thing, like, I think the most upsetting thing was that then it kind of got blown out of proportion. And then you had, like, certain news outlets saying that the dude was, like, some random dude who came in and was trying to tell her what to do. And then other people in the industry were like, yeah, this dude totally came in here telling her what to do. And I'm just like, an opinion does not mean that anybody is telling you what to do. It's an opinion. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you see it. I don't care how you say it. An opinion does not tell you automatically what to do. It's just an opinion, man. Stop being such a baby.
I know. Well, another thing is, on getting fired, nobody knows what happened behind closed doors. Nobody knows,
right,
if there were other warnings or situations to lead to this firing. I mean, it was all, I know it was public, which, you know what, I'll say, perhaps it didn't need to be public. I will say that. Perhaps the firing could have just been a let go. I don't know why it really needed to be announced, you know?
Well, the problem there is that she would have probably, blasted it.
That's true.
I got fired. So they just got ahead of it. I think they just got ahead of it because they knew that this person would have been, like, blasting it on social media immediately.
I think, obviously what you're saying is true. You know, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We've got no idea if there were other incidents that, you know, haven't been as public previously. But, I mean, there have been some that were quite public. I think, if I'm recalling correctly, it's the same person who made rather distasteful remarks about Total Biscuit,
exactly, you know,
immediately after his death. So, you know, it's not a long stretch to believe that someone that's going to have that little class to be saying things about a dead person, that you know, maybe there has been other things that we don't know about that have resulted in this, you know, firing.
Yeah, I totally agree there.
Like, I didn't know Total Biscuit well. I mean, like, who didn't know of him? But I didn't exactly, like, follow his stuff. I've been really out of tune due to my kids, you know, with everything or with most famous people or well-known people. But I will say, like, just saying anything like that about somebody that passed away, despite the fact that you might not have liked them, they still have, like, you know, a widow, a family member, his wife has taken over his social accounts, it seems, or has moved on to being the host of their podcast. They had a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's the one hosting it. I mean, I would hate for my husband to pass away and it to be so, like, in the public, and then having people basically just, like, trash talk him and, you know, good riddance and all those things like that. It would probably make me leave the internet for a while, and she's a pretty strong person to stick around and, you know, just ignore it all.
I mean, exactly. I think that's the biggest problem with the issue is people don't know when to let issues drop and when not to make a big deal over something, like with the whole Total Biscuit thing. There are people that generally don't like him in general, but when something as bad as him passing away happens, you stay quiet and you don't try to point out the flaws. You just let the people grieve in their way. And with this, it's like, it's kind of very much a similar thing where it's when there's an issue, then people just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. I think, because I didn't know about her getting fired until right now. I actually just read the article on it. while you guys were talking, I read the article because I'm like, I want to know what was going on. And the only thing I don't like about how this went down publicly is, to me, it feels like, and there's even a comment in the article about it, about that if these players complain enough, they can get people fired. And it puts a more, I can't think of the right word, but it makes the players think that they can just do whatever they want. I kind of feel like, to a point, and it, like you said, there's more stuff behind closed doors. Somehow we need to see the game companies, like, backing their employees a little bit. But here, from everything I've read, feels like it was like these players are like, oh, now if you cross us, we'll get you fired. I'm like, that's not a good thing. That just means you're going to see less and less of people talking about Guild Wars 2 from a company perspective. I mean, look at, I played World of Warcraft forever. You know, Greg Street was talkative and then not talkative for a while because it was creating issues and people were complaining. And then he started being talkative again. If you want an open company, then you need to respect that company. But at the same time, you need to, the company needs to back up their people.
Yeah.
I don't mean, know, you know?
I can agree with that. Like, I feel like it's opening up people just to, like, make up things. Not saying that, you know, people would, you know, do that, but there are people out there that are spiteful. I wouldn't want, if I was working for a company, I wouldn't want a group of people that just didn't like me, you know, to, like, purposely go out of their way to get me fired. I mean, if I said something or did something that maybe, like, deserved it, like, maybe that would be understandable. But, I mean, I don't want to see people get fired just to get fired. I don't think that's fair, and that's not what I want to see in a gaming community or any community. So, I mean, I for sure think that they need to, you know, back their employees and protect them that way. But it also needs to be looked at as, is your employee treating others nicely and acting decently on social media? It really needs to be a case-by-case situation.
Right, and I think that companies, like, have, you know, when they receive a complaint, it's not, like, an instant fire, right? They do, like, a review. I mean, I could be wrong on this, but, like, they do a review. So, that's why I'm not too worried when people say, oh, we can get anybody fired now, because you actually can't. I mean, you may feel that way, but, like, if you report somebody, it's going to be investigated, and if there's no evidence to back up your claim, then you're just going to get ignored.
Well, they have to have a review. There needs to be a written review from HR. I mean, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm not that well-known with how work works. But at my husband's job, you need to have, like, warnings, like, written warnings in your file several times in order to be compelled together and looked at to fire somebody. Like, you just can't, as far as I know, you just can't be like, I don't like this guy, I'm firing him, you know? Maybe you can, but I'm pretty sure you can't.
Yeah, or somebody told me.
You can, but then they collect. There's a whole, like, if you get fired for unjust reasons, you collect unemployment.
Right.
But, I mean, for the most part, companies aren't going to do that because the image behind it is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's that, like, if somebody tells me, yeah, I don't like this guy, and they're not going to fire them just because, like, hey, I don't like this guy. They're going to, like, look into it, and based on what they decide, that's what they're going to do. But, like, that's why I'm not worried about the whole, yeah, we can get people fired now. I definitely don't think that's the message that needs to be sent. Nobody should be fired just because somebody said they should be fired. But, like, if they're doing wrong things and misrepresenting the company, then, yeah, 100%. Because at the end of the day, that's your company's image, and that's going to affect your business down the line.
Well, it looks like we all agree that, I mean, you should be somewhat responsible. And, I mean, companies should back people and just kind of look at the situations as they come. All right. Yep. The whole Twitch and Mixer split has been super popular lately. A lot of streamers have been jumping ship and going to Mixer. I'm a pretty casual Twitch streamer, mainly due to my children and just trying to find time. But I have streamed on Mixer before, and I actually attempted to make a Mixer jump, but it didn't work out for me because I'm so, you know, I am so casual that when I went to Mixer, I found most of my viewers just enjoyed being on Twitch and wouldn't come over. And that's fine. I don't blame them. I mean, Twitch has been around for a while, but as someone that is smaller, it was really hard to build a viewership on Mixer. And I know I didn't give it a really long time. I think I did it for like 3 weeks, but I couldn't get any viewers. I felt like everyone was streaming Fortnite on Mixer. I know some of you, Nerdforce, you're Mixer, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Is anyone else Mixer here?
No, I only do Twitch.
Okay. Okay, well, since Nerdforce, since you're on Mixer, what are your experiences on Mixer? And you've streamed on Twitch before?
Yeah, I did, actually.
All right, cool.
Okay, so yes, I agree with your point on the fact that Mixer is mostly Fortnite, right? That's actually, like, I'm noticing a change there. I've been looking at the games directory a couple days after the new partnership requirements, which basically say that they're not going to look at your average viewership, because that's the big thing on Twitch, right? Twitch, to get partner, you have to have, like, 75 plus viewers or something on
it's
average.
It's insane. I think 75 is a lot.
Yeah, that's high as hell. On Mixer, they're not gonna look at that anymore. They're gonna look more at the quality of your content and how you invest into Mixer. So I'm seeing a change of only streaming Fortnite, and then, like, games I usually saw had, like, nobody streaming them or no viewers are actually starting to, like, slowly tick up. It's not like a huge leap in numbers, but there's definitely, like, a change, because I think the reason that Mixer was mostly Fortnite was because, you know, Mixer was only Fortnite, and then, like, people just felt that that need to stream Fortnite to actually get anywhere, right? Because they have Hype Zone, and you could get hosted for, like, 300 plus viewers, and if people like your content, then you have, like, 50 followers in one stream, right? But in terms of building an audience, I think it's really about, if you had an established audience on Twitch, then yeah, definitely, it's going to be hard to kind of, like, reestablish that. Because most people, like you say, they're used to being on Twitch, and they're not going to want to make the switch. And, like, there's, like, data that says, like, only, like, 25% of your viewership will actually switch with you on platform. But if you're somebody who's, like, starting out, like, you're, like, basically you've never streamed before, or only streamed, like, one or two times or something like that, then Mixer is a better option, because, like, all the directories are not going to be super flooded with people. So, like, for example, if you say, I want to stream, Heroes of the Storm, for example, on Mixer there's only, like, 5-6 people streaming Heroes of the Storm. On Twitch, there's like 35-40. And then so you're going to be at the bottom starting out, right? You're going to be like one viewer, zero viewers, depending. So people are going to have to scroll through like 100 people to get to you. And our attention span nowadays is like 2 seconds. That's science. So we don't have like the attention span to scroll down and look for people, right? You gotta have the no, like I'm serious. Like I'm that person, right? I hate scrolling down. I have to like force myself. I have to like have the intent to scroll down, right? And look for people.
Okay. Because... Well, I will say that if I would have known that they were changing their partnership terms. I recently switched back to Twitch, I want to say like 2 weeks ago. I would have probably stuck it out with Mixer for a little bit, but like you're saying, like everything was Fortnite, and it's I don't stream Fortnite. We talked about that earlier. I stream random things. Dead by Daylight, for example, is a big game of mine. Oh, that I
Dead
stream.
By Daylight.
I felt like I was unnoticed. There was no way to build a viewership on Mixer. And maybe that's me, my mindset. But
yeah.
When everything is Fortnite, everything like everything was Fortnite, then it was like two people streaming Dead by Daylight, one person streaming World of Warcraft, or, you know, there was no options. Like, you would have to be the first person to stream something random, and it would not be noticed. Nobody's gonna notice that. Nobody's gonna go to some random indie game on Mixer and see one person streaming with no one watching and go and watch it. I don't think they will. Not at that point when I was streaming. But the fact that they changed their partnership terms to get rid of numbers, that makes me happy. Like, that makes me excited for Mixer, and I think I've made my decision to stay on Twitch and just stick it out and try to do 75 people viewing, but that is just, it's insane. I have like 20 people at a time watching, but my average is still 9 people. Like, you know, like it's gonna be hard work to get to 75 if I want to be a partner, and I'm gonna try to like push for it once my kids start school, because they'll be in school from like 9 in the morning to like almost 5 p.m. so I'll have a whole day to just sit on my butt and, you know, make it work.
You can literally hear the excitement in your voice.
I am so excited.
Your kids being at school all day.
Like, I really am
like, my body's ready. That's what you're saying. No, but you know, I feel like you can actually build a viewer base on Mixer, right? The thing is, okay, I'm seeing a lot of people throw shade at Mixer lately because, as you say, like, it's being talked about, you know, like it's making waves, and like a lot of people are talking down on Mixer. But what people forget is that Twitch wasn't Twitch, right? Twitch started out as Justin TV, and
right,
it was this like little baby streaming platform that basically nobody knew about and nobody used, right? And slowly started growing, because that's just how any business works. You start small, and then you kind of expand a little bit more, expand a little bit more. So Mixer just doing the same thing.
Well, I don't have any beef against Mixer. I actually really love it.
No, 100%
I
get it.
Like, I love Mixer. I have friends that stream on Mixer. And I even tweeted today, I wish I could stream on both at the same time, but I can't. It's against my contract that I wrote for Twitch.
No, it's not. No, you're an affiliate, right?
I can't stream at the same time.
I can
stream separate streams, but I cannot go live at the same time, and I don't want to stream separate streams, you know? Like, I don't want to do that. I want to do it at the same time, and if I can't do it at the same time, I'm just going to do Twitch. And I think that sucks, because I'm friendly. I'm like the neighborhood like gaming puppy dog. I just want to like hang out with everybody. Like
right.
I just want to be friends with everybody, guys. Like, I just want to be friends with Mixer people.
Twitch and I know
like
go ahead, geek.
Yeah, let this man speak, please. Sorry.
No worries. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, kind of talking more from like a higher side, kind of looking at it down. You know, I think Mixer getting different options and become more public, because honestly, I've never really watched Mixer. I'm definitely a Twitch person. I think it's only going to be better for streaming in general with Mixer becoming bigger and changing up how they do things and making it more competitive. I mean, that's pretty much how, US is built, is on competition. And when people do better, then Twitch has to do better. And for Twitch to be the only game in town for however many years means they pretty much could do whatever they wanted. And now that Mixer is going to be there, YouTube gaming, all that, you're going to see Twitch having to make changes in order to keep up. Now,
exactly.
Is it going to take a long time for that to get fixed? Yeah. I mean, most people aren't going to jump to Mixer, YouTube gaming just because. But personally, like, you guys were talking, you guys were talking a little bit more about, like, going down and trying to find it. Now, if you're the only person streaming a game, if someone's looking for a new game to stream, they're not going to go down all the way to the bottom. They're going to look and see what people are watching anyway. So it's a long, scroll no matter what. And for me, I find most of the people that I follow in terms of Twitch and that from other social media sites. I go on Twitter, and then that's where I'll find someone, and then I'll go to Twitch, because I can't go looking through all the streams that I don't know. I have to like the person on Twitter as a personality, and then I'll start watching them on Twitch.
I'm that way too. I watch people I meet through social media. It's very rare for me to go and browse Twitch and to find a stream. I will use Twitch to find a game. You know what I'm saying? If I am craving a new game, I will go to Twitch and I will be like, what is the most popular things going on right now that I haven't seen before? Like, maybe a new game came out and I didn't know about it, and I'm going to see what's going on. I check several times a day just to see what's new and out there. But it's not really to find a caster. It's to find a game. But I will use Twitter. Like, if I follow somebody or I have a nice conversation with somebody and we decide to follow each other and they stream, I'll pop in and see what their stream is about. And I don't have a lot of free time to watch people's streams. I know that sounds terrible because I'm a caster and wish people would come watch me. But I'm also a mom that's kind of busy, so I don't really have a lot of time, but I drop in and I say hello, and sometimes I like it when people just stop by and say hello. They're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm about to go eat dinner, but I just wanted to say hi. Like, I don't know, it just makes me feel special when someone takes time out of their day to say hello, even if they're busy.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I have a 5-year-old daughter. Like, I don't have time to just watch people play video games. I'm too busy watching kids play with toys on YouTube with my daughter. So
yeah.
So I'll jump in and say hi. Sometimes if someone's doing like a 24-hour stream or if they're doing something that they're trying to really get some viewers on there, like, I'll leave it streaming in the background to kind of help them out. I don't know. But I do.
On the whole, Twitch and Mixer switch, do you think people that jump ship, there's a lot of people that have been jumping ship. Now, a lot of these people are big streamers. I don't want to say any names. It's not like a call out or anything. But I think some people are possibly being paid to switch to Mixer, if that is fair and okay to say. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it's like a smart move on Mixer's part, perhaps, to pay people that have a lot of following to switch. It will bring people over, their fans over to Mixer. Maybe.
I think that's an excellent idea. I've always been someone who, people are like, oh, they're selling out. I'm like, no, they're making a living. Do what they need to make a living.
They're feeding their family. They're feeding themselves. They're making a living. Like, this is a legit job to some people. And if a company is going to pay them to stream over there, then that's their job. Like, you can't get mad at them for wanting to, survive.
But people still get mad. It's crazy.
The only thing that... Like I said, I have never watched Mixer. The only thing right now, if it switched to Mixer, I would have to make sure I'm signed up for Mixer and do it, would be Critical Role. That's the one thing I actually watch regularly, and I would consider a mass, affluent streamer.
The tabletop genre is kind of growing. I know McLogan. Do you know who McLogan is?
I do not. I'll look him up after this.
He's basically a very famous voice actor. He's actually starting a tabletop RPG series on Mixer. He did the first episode a couple days ago.
That's fantastic. So,
So there's definitely like interest growing now since Mixer is kind of growing. Regarding partners, I mean, I know a couple of partners who say they're not getting paid, right? I mean, they say they could be, I don't know. But the reason that they cite moving was that they felt that their growth on Twitch stagnated, right? Because it comes down to the problem of discoverability, right? Because I think Twitch has a huge discoverability problem because they order the directories based on numbers. Mixer actually doesn't order it based on numbers. It actually randomizes the directory. So like even if you're like in a huge directory, it's going to be randomized. You might be like in the first couple rows. It could happen. But the problem is that Twitch is more focused on numbers, right? Because their discoverability problem, they still haven't gotten it because they did launch the like UI redesign, right? And the other day I was like looking at it and it's basically like a copy paste of Mixer's UI. But the problem is that like when it's recommending you streamers, you know, Mixer has this cool thing called up and coming streamers, which is just basically people with like growing numbers. And then Twitch did kind of like a similar thing, which was like streamers you may like, right? But okay. Then I noticed that it was like people with 400 to 500 viewers.
Oh, I noticed
partner
that.
People. That's... And I was just like, okay, so basically what you're telling me is that streamers I really like are streamers that are like super big and partnered. Okay.
That completely bothered me. I noticed that the other day. It was hiding who I followed. Like it minimized who I followed and was like, you might like, you know, all these streamers with like 2,000 views right now. And I'm like, no, exactly. I'm not going to like that. Like, I want to see, okay, first of all, I want to see my friends not minimized. I want to see who's streaming. So let me go ahead and unminimize them so I can see who my friends are. And secondly, I want to not see who's popular. I know that sounds hateful. I don't even look at it as hateful. I'd rather support somebody like me, somebody that has 10 to 30 viewers at a time, even somebody with less than 10. Like, toss a 1 to, like, 10 up there, you know what I'm saying? Like, give somebody some love. I mean, right. You know, like, give somebody right. some love. Like, stop making it about numbers. Like,
right, because these big streamers already have, like, a high viewer base, right? So people browsing randomly are going to find them anyways because they're not going to scroll down the directories. They're just going to click that person who's, like, right at the top. So in your front page, you really want to feature people who are like at the bottom of the directory, right? But that are like slowly climbing up, like Mixer does with their up and coming tab, which is just basically people who like have like 5 to 6 viewers on like any given game. And that's kind of why people are kind of making that switch, because they feel like Mixer kind of has a more of a growth potential for them. And they're like, so far I've been keeping up with the people who switched, and they say that they saw their growth go up exponentially more than Twitch because they didn't have to deal with that discoverability problem, which I think it's Twitch's main problem right now. And it's a hard problem to solve because like streaming has become like such a mainstream thing. And like everybody wants to stream, right? And then Twitch is kind of like the de facto streaming platform. So like it's really hard to get found on Twitch. But Mixer, since it's like a baby right now, you know, it's easier to be found because they also do kind of like more to help people get noticed, right? Twitch, I feel like it just like it's biased towards its partners in every way. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, Twitch is a business, right? They're making money and you need to make money to keep a business afloat, right? So their partners are like their cash tickets. You know, they're the surefire money right now. So, whereas people who are like relatively new are probably not gonna net them any money, and Twitch is been kind of, they haven't been transparent, but it's pretty obvious that they're more focused on numbers and money than anything else.
So does Mixer have strict clothing rules or anything like that? Like, what are there? Are you allowed to stream? Like, what are you not allowed to stream in? Like,
I'm pretty sure that you're fine as long as you're not, like, for example, for a girl, just don't show your boobs. Like, like, you can wear a tank top, okay? You're fine with a tank top or whatever they're called. But, like, if you're going to stream, like, in a bra and panties, then just no.
Okay.
And I think that's okay. That makes sense to me, you know? But yeah, then here's the thing. Twitch has, like, and it kind of shows their bias towards partners, right? Because I have heard of instances where partners kind of, like, flash something or other part of their body. And then Twitch is just like, yeah, delete the bot and move on. You know,
right.
And that bothers me because I feel like they should enforce their own rules.
Because
Mixer does enforce their own rules. Like, literally any rule they have, they enforce it on, like, even their partners. Because partners have been banned for breaking their rules. And I feel like Twitch doesn't really enforce the rules on their partners. They do on, like, random people. Because I actually know of a Twitch streamer who left Twitch because she was banned because somebody's made, like, a false claim about her, and then she kind of, like, called his name out on stream. Not his real name, his Twitch name. And then this person complained to Twitch, and they got banned, right? Because it was against the terms of service or something.
To call somebody out? Yeah,
and they switched to Mixer because of it, and, like, they're super happy on Mixer now.
That's but, like, good.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, man. I feel like certain people on Twitch can pretty much get away with anything, even if they get, like, a little slap on the wrist banned.
Yeah.
I have seen, and I am not a body shamer or a clothing shamer. I think to an extent women and men should be able to wear what they want to wear on stream. If you're into, like, rave clothing, you know, that's your style, you should be able to wear that. Like, if you want to wear a belly shirt because that's just what you like to wear, as long as you are a good streamer, well-spoken and entertaining at playing the game, I feel like that's fair. But I feel like if you're dancing around not playing the game, shaking your boobs and jiggling your ass and slapping yourself on the butt but not playing the game and not, like, offering any gaming content, I don't feel like that fits. And maybe I will get a lot of hate for admitting that, but, like, there is a place for that. It's called at the club. It's called in the bedroom with your lover. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, like, I actually, like, I tweeted out a picture the other day, which was, like, going back to, like, a hot minute to this, like, streamers you may like thing, right? One of the streamers you may like was, like, a female, and the entire stream was them dancing, and then subs get Snapchat, and then, like, donate for squats.
Oh, no.
And nothing was happening except that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in this crap, Twitch. Like, hey, power to them if this is what they want to do, but I don't think this is the platform to do it. And I really, really hope that kids don't see this on their dashboards, because Twitch has kid viewers, right? And I don't think this is, like, I wouldn't, like, if I had a kid, I wouldn't want a kid seeing a stream where it's just, like, you know, dancing for like, donations, like, doing squats for donations and stuff, get Snapchat, you know? Because you're teaching my kids that it's okay to objectify women, you know?
Right. Well, okay. I will say that, like, on a fitness stream or perhaps even real life, as long as it's not, like, I mean, I don't know. It's a hard subject. But I feel like on a fitness stream, if you're doing, like, sets of squats for tips.
Exactly.
You know, like, if you're doing, like, the more squats you do for more tips, you know what I'm saying, as part of your fitness routine and you're doing that, I think that's fine. But if you're just, like, wearing some booty shorts with League of Legends in the background and, like, doing squats for money, I mean, I just don't know. Like, it's a hard subject because you don't want to sound prude and you don't want to sound like you're against it, because I'm not against it. I mean, everybody likes sex. Everybody enjoys that. Like, who doesn't? And it's not that. It's just there's something where when you're a streamer and, okay, first of all, what somebody else does doesn't bother me. It's fine. But sometimes it can bother me as a female that's streaming when I have people come into my chat and they're like, tits, please, or do you squat, or do you have Snapchat? Like, exactly. What other women and men do can bleed over into these other channels, and you have to listen to that stuff, or just, I mean, in my case, I just ban them and move on and don't even, like, acknowledge it. But, I mean, I still see it, and it's like, I don't want people to think that's why I'm here. Like, I am here to, like, show up, play games that I want to play, and, like, give my thoughts and have a solid conversation with people viewing. I feel we've gone a little off topic, but I feel like on Mixer, this is what I was leading to, that people in general on Mixer are there to stream video games as a streamer.
Yeah.
They're there to have fun. I noticed that they're really big into the community. Everybody seems to know each other, and viewers kind of share streamers, you know, they all migrate. So I noticed that when one streamer will end, a lot of their viewers are some other streamer's viewers, like they're shared viewers because the population is smaller. I really like that. They have a nice sense of community. They seem to be really fair about everything. It's no favorites, like you were saying. I mean, I don't think poorly or think anything of anybody that wants to switch to Mixer. I tried it myself. I deeply wish that I had the patience to do it. I don't, you know, but it is what it is. Like, I support people that stream on Mixer, so.
Yeah, like, Mixer, the good thing about it is that, you know, it's got more of that tight-knit family feel, you know? And even if you're not part of Mixer, like, anytime anybody new joins, you have, like, 1,000 people coming in saying, hey, welcome to the team, you know? And that's pretty, like, neato, you know?
Do either of you other two have any thoughts on Mixer and Twitch? I feel like we've been talking so much. Yeah, I'm sorry,
like, I've kind of taken over the conversation. But, like, I'm just going to say this final thing. It's not like Twitch, right? Like, for example, Twitch, anytime anything new gets announced for affiliates, like, partners just go nuts, you know? That's just what I've been seeing. Whereas, like, on Mixer, they announce the new partnership requirements, which basically means that you don't have to have, like, a concurrent viewership anymore. I mean, they still look at it, but they're not going to, like, use it to judge, like, the total sum of your application.
Yeah.
And none of the partners freaked out. Like, all partners that I know of were just like, oh, this is super awesome for new people, and I'm glad they did this, you know? And I was just like, yeah, on Twitch, it would be a mass freak out.
It really would have been.
You know, so Mixer does have, like, that tight-knit family feel, and people actually care about each other. So that's really kind of what draws me to the platform and what drew me away from Twitch. Because on Twitch, I actually didn't feel like I was growing. And on Mixer, I've been only at it a month, and I definitely feel like I've grown a lot more than on Twitch.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I from this conversation, I kind of want to try Mixer a little more in terms of viewing. You know, because I haven't really spent any time on it. I
10 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday.
So I think, I think the competition's great, and I think maybe I need to go in there and take a look at it. But I think we also need to see these people that are on Mixer more vocal on social media to kind of talk about that, because most people that are vocal are like, hey, I'm on Twitch. Like, I haven't seen anyone say, hey, I'm on Mixer, come check me out.
You're following the wrong people, bro.
I see it all the time.
Whoa. I am not following the wrong people. No,
you're following the right people, just not all the people that are the right people.
Exactly.
There are just way too many people.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, I think you guys have summarized it pretty well, really, for everything that could be possibly said about Twitch and Mixer.
Sorry, Andy.
No, not at all. Don't worry, you know. You guys have got more experience than me. I've never used Mixer. I have watched a few streams on there. I've watched a few of Jewel's streams on there. One thing I did immediately notice in every stream I watch is that people are very... It does seem to be, like you say, a very tight-knit community. Everyone's very friendly, and a lot of people know each other. Obviously, that's probably due in part to the fact that it is a somewhat smaller community than Twitch. But I mean, that's obviously a good thing, you know, that it's so welcoming to people, and it is going to, you know, welcome people with open arms to join the platform and get involved. And, you know, I do think, like you say, any competition for Twitch can only be a good thing down the line. I mean, I'm not a partner myself, but I've heard through social media and stuff that some of the partners that aren't particularly huge on Twitch don't get treated very well. And that some of their contracts and payment details might not be as good as you would expect. So no, several people have moved over for that reason, you know, for wanting a bit more fairness, whether it be to Mixer or to, you know, YouTube gaming or even like Facebook streaming and stuff like that. I know a couple of people have moved to do all their streaming via Facebook now because they worked out that they're getting a better deal out of it at the end of the day. But I mean, yeah, a lot of it does come down to, you know, Twitch has pretty much got almost a monopoly on streaming platforms.
They really do.
You know, it's got to reach a point where it's hitting critical mass now, and that there's only room for competition, and that should be good for everyone, because as soon as Twitch realizes, okay, shit, we're hemorrhaging streamers here, we need to do something, everyone's going to get a better deal out of it.
For sure. Like, I mean, I agree. Like, I think competition is great. Maybe it'll help Twitch, you know, clean their act up and start treating everybody equally. And I mean, if people start leaving, they have no other choice but then to, you know, clean it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was extremely excited to start this show, and we totally skipped what we've all been playing. So what have you guys been playing? Anything good?
Go ahead.
No, so like I said, I got well behind on a lot of games, playing World of Warcraft way too. And I played Blizzard games for a while. But I've been playing Fallout 4, which I never played before. And I probably put, like, my wife and kid were away for the week. So I probably put, like, 70 hours into that game.
What?
And damn. Yeah. No, I've been work from home that past week. Wife and kid are gone. And so I've been playing like crazy.
It took you a week?
You are literally living the dream, dude. You realize that?
I know.
I want my wife and kid to South Carolina for another week. No, I'm just kidding.
You guys need to leave. Me and Fallout 4 have a date. Have you beat the base game yet?
No, I'm the worst at, because I play like Skyrim, stuff like that, but I probably have done like two or three things. I get into making the settlements and just go hunting for stuff so that way I can build new things. I was a Sims addict for a long time, so it has that feel to it.
Okay. I played Fallout 4 right when it came out, and it was my first and only Fallout game that I've played, and I've told myself that I would go back and play the others, but I just haven't yet. I really haven't. I have an addiction to online competitive games, so it takes me a really long time to actually like play a story-based game. But I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic game, so I pre-ordered Fallout 76.
Yes, I was just gonna say, after 1 week of playing this, I pre-ordered Fallout 76 because I need to play it, and I need to find a bunch of people to play it with.
Well, we're going to be getting it together for Campfire Discord, so I'll probably start making a channel for it, because I feel like that'll be a pretty big game, and we can all hang out and, I don't know, go kill, like, what were they making funny names about, like, Pussy Slayer, like, 69 is going to be running around in the online Fallout world, so.
We didn't think
the I will not appreciate you killing me when I have that name. Oh.
My bad, I won't make fun of your name anymore.
Just change your name, bro. But seriously, just get the nukes. We just need to go get the nukes and then just nuke everybody. That'll be fun.
Andy, are you can actually you getting get us? Nukes.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, okay. I haven't pre-ordered it yet, but
okay. With platform,
there is borderline no chance I won't get it. I will probably pick it up on PC.
PC for me too.
Because same. Master Race, you know.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, well, cool. We have our 4-man group. No.
Yeah,
this exactly. Time every day.
Dibs on healing. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
Well, that's the thing. The thing I like about Fallout 76 is they basically just made an online Fallout 4. They didn't try to conform it to like an MMO formula, you know, like ESO, for example. You know how ESO kind of like conformed it a little bit to the MMO formula by adding like healers and damage. You know, from the looks of it, it just looks like you're going to be playing like Fallout 4, but online
with pals.
Pretty exactly.
Yeah, it very much looks like a survival game. You know, and I'm a sucker for survival games like Ark and Conan Exiles, things like that. I mean, if this just turned out to be a reskin of Conan Exiles, I'd probably be okay with it and I'd enjoy it because I like Fallout.
I'd be okay with that too.
These games, you know, the survival games, sometimes they do get a bad rap where, you know, people get annoyed because you can put hours and hours into them for it to get wiped out in minutes. But I think as long as you're playing with people who aren't complete dicks, then usually, you know, you do get a lot of enjoyment out of them.
Well, have you guys seen the UI? Like, specifically, like, the Friends, how it has, like, your little Pip-Boy? I think it's the Pip-Boy. The little icon. I wonder if you can customize that, you know, to what your character looks like. But I love the UI. I just thought it was so, like, neat looking and sleek how they did that. And I'm a visual person, so when I see, like, a UI, like, I like, or even a UI I don't like, that can kind of, like, ruin a game for me. Maybe I'm odd, but, like, if it's, like, a real bad UI, I'm like, I cannot play this. This is offensive to me. Like, this can't happen.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Since I do web development, I basically do front-end development, which is basically, like, UI. I just work on UI a lot, so I'm very nitpicky about UI. Like, I get bothered by something being off, like, one or two pixels. That's how crazy I get. So when I see, like, a bad UI in a game, that immediately turns me off from a game. So when I saw that they actually just, like, reskinned Fallout 4 into an online game, I was just, like, I was so happy. Because I actually like the UI on Fallout 4, because I like the whole, I, like, raise my Pip-Boy, and that's my inventory, like, so on my Pip-Boy.
Will we be able to change the color? Like, I think you could change the color in your
UI. Yeah, you can change the color in Fallout 4 of the Pip-Boy. Like, I'll
you can.
Blue.
Yeah, you can change your color. I think mine was hot pink, because I'm just trash.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need to go to settings,
Now I gotta go play and figure it out.
It's just on, like, on the main menu in the settings, or you can just do it in game. You just go to settings, and I think it's like a HUD color or something, or Pip-Boy color.
It's like a slider.
It'll change it. Yeah, it's a slider, and then you just change the color, and that's it.
You can have any color you want, and including Doo Doo Brown.
Well, he's about to jump off and go.
Yeah, like, we won't hear from him.
I think one of the other things is that they have confirmed that while it probably won't be in for release, that they intend to have mod support as well. So, I mean, things like that, you'll get so many different sort of UIs and things that...
Yeah.
What kind of support did you say?
Mod support.
I thought you said MUD support, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever played MUDs. I was like, that's going to be amazing.
I don't know.
That would make it an incredibly hardcore version of Fallout if it was a MUD.
Okay.
So a MUD is like... I don't remember what it stood for, but it was like back before MMOs and everything, it was... text-based, like, open-world games. It was weird. But look it up.
I'll look it up.
It's just MUD, all capitalized, multi-user dungeon. That's what it was. We're talking, like...
You know what? I have heard of it. It was, like, text symbols, right? Typing symbols, almost?
And you'd be like, move north. And I thought they were going to have, like, a MUD in the game, and I'm like, when is this coming out? This is going to be back to my olden
days.
That's
amazing. Okay, Andy, have you been playing anything other than WoW? Anything new from last time? You've just been playing a lot of WoW, right?
Yeah. I have. I've been playing too much WoW. Mainly just to, you know, tie things off before Battle for Azeroth launches in a few weeks. Obviously, I think you guys get the patch tomorrow. For the 8.0 patch, which changes a lot of things. So yeah, I have been trying to get bits and pieces. Apart from that, all I've really played, well, over the last week at least, I did pick up over the weekend and played The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is...
I need to play it, so please don't spoil it for me, but you can talk about it.
Yeah, I won't spoil it, don't worry. Okay. But it's... Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it is a prequel chapter, maybe, to Life is Strange 2.
It's a prelude, really.
Yeah, it's sort of like a prologue to that.
How does the little boy fit into the story? Or is that a spoiler?
You need to play. Okay, no, you need to play. Like, it's a spoiler.
I'll play it soon.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's not 100% confirmed how he fits in, but it makes it very, very obvious that there is something about this boy that's going to be involved in the main story of this next game.
Okay.
Also, a lot of the context of this little prelude chapter does relate back to the previous Life is Strange game. There's a lot of sort of cross, but there's a lot of Easter eggs and stuff that if you look for, you can spot quite easily.
You mentioned it was heavy, right? It was a heavy
yeah.
game.
I mean, yeah.
It's very emotional.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, no.
It's enjoyable, but it is. Some of the subject content is a little bit... It makes you feel feelings.
If I stream it, I'll probably just cry the whole time. I don't want to cry.
Not the whole time. But
I mean, how fast can you turn your webcam off?
Like, no, I don't mind if I cry, but I'm just saying that I cry when like the animal commercials come on for adoption. Like, I cry over everything. I'm like an emotional mess since I had kids. Like, I just like you know, like the Sarah McLellan or whatever her name is commercials come on.
Don't stream this game, Bella.
I'll just be like, Homestar Story, guys, and the kids don't cry.
What I'm going to say is that, so you can actually finish the entire prelude without doing anything, but seriously, do everything.
How long is the play through?
I did absolutely everything, and yeah, I did it all, and it took me maybe an hour and 45 minutes, definitely less than 2 hours, I did absolutely everything.
Okay.
It's really short.
I'll probably do that. I just didn't want to get involved into something really long right now because I'm addicted to Warframe currently. It's been a whole day, but I'm pretty sure it's a strong addiction. A friend gave me...
I've got Warframe on download at the moment.
Okay, good. A friend gave me...
So yeah, thanks for that.
A friend gave me a Cora, I think that's how you say her name. But not just a Cora, he gave me the like entire set. So with the cat dog thing, the space cat.
Okay.
And like the dual wielding melee weapon. And I think it came with some sort of second off weapon, like a pistol or some sort of thing. But it is so fun. Like, I played back in it's early days when it was just like your character sitting there and it was real basic and it didn't stick with me. And I came back maybe like a year ago. When was the current expansion release? Eidolon?
Yeah, Plains of Eidolon. Last year.
Very shortly, and I was in the middle of moving. I didn't have a lot of time to give to it. And so I spent forever moving and moved to my current place of residence and just never picked it back up. But I love it. Like, it's so fun. Like, it's colorful, especially if you like, you know, dye your armor and
Warframes are pretty.
They really are. Especially if you get the right Warframe for you. You know, like, everyone has their own taste on what they like. And I think my issue with it before is I was playing a Warframe that I did not like how it looked at all. I just didn't like it. It was really plain. I forget which one it was, but it didn't have any pizzazz to it. And I don't know. But the one
it probably is Excalibur.
It might have been. It was a girl one.
Oh, okay. Then I forget her name. But yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
She just looked like she had what do you call it? A suit on, a full body suit. Like, she had nothing. It was just looked like a bodysuit or whatever.
But, yeah, the starter Warframes are like super basic. So, and the thing is that they don't tell you that you can't switch the Warframe. You can't like delete the account. Like, delete the character and then just pick a different Warframe, right? So that kind of turned people off. I know of people who got turned off by the fact that, like, they can switch the Warframe after they started, and they had to, like, farm to build the Warframes. And farming for the Warframes takes a long time. Like, any Warframe is going to take you, like, a lot of grinding.
I know. So, I had somebody come into my chat, and they were like, you're not new. You have a Cora. I'm like, no, really, I'm new. Somebody gave me that. And he was like, well, that takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah,
I'm like, not really. I mean, I'm sure I still have a lot of things to work on just because I have a Warframe.
Yeah, I've had it.
I was gonna say what's funny about Warframe is I played it I feel like it was a long time ago because I met the guy who did videos for them at PAX East 1 year, and he gave me a bunch of free Warframe things, and I like looked at it. I did never really played it, and I'm like, I had like $30 or $40 worth of Warframe stuff. And now everybody seems to be playing it.
It's because, like, it's changed so much, and, like, there's so much new content, right? And it's kind of changed the formula of the base game, because the base game used to be just, like, instant missions, and now it's, like, free-to-play and open world. Because Plains of Eidolon is just this huge-ass open map, and it's crazy, to be honest. Like, I look at the game now and before, because I actually played it before, And, like, it's a totally different game, and I can't believe it's free. And I'm excited for the new expansion because they did a pretty good job of hyping that up, especially since they're going to have, like, space combat that's cooperative, and, like, you can board people and they can board you, and that's pretty insane.
That is pretty awesome. I was showing my husband that. We went over all of this last episode, so we won't go too in detail and into all that again, since Warframe was like a feature last episode. But I think it's going to be something that everybody's going to be playing a lot lately. But did any of you have any other games that you've been playing that you'd like to mention before we wrap this up?
Well, I think the only thing I have to add is Rainbow Six.
Oh, I've played a little bit of that.
It's a super fun game.
No, it's good.
Okay, Rainbow Six really is simultaneous.
I'm really happy about the new guidelines they instituted. Like, if you say any kind of curse word or something in chat, you actually get banned for, like, 30 minutes. And then, like, the second offense gets you, like, a one-hour ban. And then the third one can actually get you perm banned. So they're doing good stuff against toxicity in the game. And I'm really happy about that because Rainbow Six can get pretty toxic. But the reason that I've been playing it so much lately is because it's a game where I feel like I can actually slow down. Like, games like Fortnite and Call of Duty, I have to, like, be fast. You know, I have to always be, like, moving fast or, like, thinking fast or making, like, really fast decisions. But, like, Rainbow Six, I can take my time and think about what the heck I want to do, right? Like, how am I going to approach attacking this person, or how am I going to approach, like, getting the objective, or, like, how am I going to approach, like, anything? And that's why I like it. Like, it's a game that I feel like I can, like, slow down and look at it before, like, committing to anything. Whereas, like, games like Fortnite and Call of Duty and all that, you've got to, like, do, like, split-second decisions, and, that, like, they don't always turn out right. Whereas in Rainbow Six, I make a plan, and if I commit to it and execute it well, I win.
I always...
And I've actually gotten into the hype zone on Mixer for it, so, like, 6 or 7 times, and it's helped me with growth, too, so that's pretty neat.
That's amazing. I didn't know they had a hype zone for that.
Yeah, they do. They added it recently, like, 2 months ago or something.
Nice. I actually feel like I do pretty well in Rainbow Six. I don't play it often, but in the times that I played, even coming in as brand new, I mean, I did well. Like, it's slow-paced. You can just kind of sit there and lay on your back and scope things out, you know, and wait for...
Exactly.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I feel like I'm trying to play so many games right now that I actually found a pretty good, like, flow of games. Like, I play Dead by Daylight, Soul at Stake, playing Warframe now. I mean, that's all, like, I really play right now. But Dead by Daylight and Soul at Stake are, like, basically the same game. Slightly different. But it's, like, I play those, you know, off and on. And then Warframe now is probably going to take up a lot of my time because it's just kind of an MMO. I mean, it is an MMO, but...
Yeah, super good.
Everyone's playing Dead by Daylight now. It's crazy. I've been playing it for a bit.
I love it. Like, I love having the shit scared out of me. Like,
I like being a killer.
I'm a classic horror movie nut. Like, it's like, I love classic horror movies, so this thing grabbed me.
I love classic horror movies, too. I don't know a lot of the newer horror movies that have been coming out, but movies like Scream... I would count that as a classic because I was little when that came out. But
at this point, anything by Wes Craven is a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. God, what else? Friday the 13th. You know, weirdly, I wasn't a big...
Halloween's my favorite.
Halloween is my favorite, too. There's something about Michael Myers in Dead by Daylight. He's one of the only killers to make me scream. And I think it's
You know what it is?
I was going to say, I think it's like a mental thing. You know, I grew up watching horror movies, even like... My parents let me watch them when I was pretty young. Like, I don't know, 9? Like,
top-notch parenting right there.
But, like, just seeing Michael Myers sneak up to you in Dead by Daylight, he's so damn silent. You don't... I mean, if he's Spectre, you just don't even hear him coming. And he just stands there. Like, that's his play style. He stands there and stares at you. And, like, because he gets, like, powered up from it.
Okay, but, like, I gotta give credit to Jaws, because, like, as a kid, I saw Jaws, I don't know, like, the movie about the shark, Killer Shark.
Yeah.
And after watching that movie, I was scared for weeks of going to the toilet.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I was so afraid. Have you seen it recently, though? It's so bad looking.
Like, yeah, it's
you're
so
like,
bad.
Why was like, I afraid of this?
Exactly. Like, yeah, as a kid, like, everything scares you. But then when you're an adult, you go back and look at it, and you're just like, this is so crappy. How was I scared
I know,
of this, like,
I know.
At all?
I was going to say, everyone's scared of Michael Myers because it looks vaguely like William Shatner.
Oh, no, it does. It does.
Well,
because that is a cruel thing to say to Michael Myers.
No, wait. No, the original Michael Myers mask was from Star Trek facial mode of William Shatner.
Oh, it was?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you didn't know that, that's why.
That's amazing.
That's really amazing. Good pub quiz knowledge right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, well, that ends episode 2 of CampCast. I'm going to take the time to let our guests Andy, Adam, and John plug their social media. So Andy, tell us where people can find you.
Thank you. I am on Twitter and I'm on Twitch, both by the username Alethio Andy. I am also in the Campfire Discord probably about 23 hours a day because I have nothing better to do with my life. So catch me there as well.
Awesome. What about you, Adam?
Well, best thing to do is go on to Twitter. I'm at Geek of Random over there. You can see kind of what I'm up to podcast-wise. If you go to @ElectricStream on Twitter, you can see what I'm doing. Like, we're going to be covering Watchmen when it comes out, and I've done, like, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. And soon I'll be streaming pretty soon, trying to decide exactly what I want to do. And now I have to question whether I should try out Mixer or not.
Amazing. What about you, John?
So, quick thing, Andy, just do it, man. I'm going to be, like, the advocate here, like the Mixer ambassador, and say do it. But me, I can be found on Mixer and Twitter. Twitter is @NerdForceTV. Sadly, I can't get rid of the TV because somebody actually has the username NerdForce. But it's driving me crazy because consistency. And Mixer is just mixer.com/NerdForce. And that's it. And I don't have Instagram or Snapchat, so don't look for me there. I'm not a picture person. Good luck finding a picture of me more recent than 2017. Like, good luck.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, we're all gonna find it now.
Go for it, bro, because I know for a fact there isn't. I mean, on my Facebook, I still have a profile picture of, like, 2015 or something like that. So
amazing.
Good luck, bro.
All right, and you can find me at Namaslays on both Twitch and Twitter. And I am IRL Jewel, J-E-W-E-L, on Instagram. Thanks again for listening, guys.